This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. You can now watch the TV version of our show on Free Speech TV, weekdays at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. FSTV is on Dish Network, DirecTV, and Roku. For the past few years, organizations and activists around the U.S. had targeted the government's use of private corporations to run prisons. And then in mid-August of this year, the Deputy Attorney General, Sally Yates, announced that the federal government would phase out its use of private prison corporations like CCA and GEO. Activists rejoiced, but many felt the decision didn't go far enough, pointing out that many immigrant detention centers and even state prisons were still run by private companies. Privately run prisons have shown to have a higher rate of violence and worse medical care than facilities run by the U.S. Bureau of Prisons. My guest is Scott Roberts. He's a senior campaign director for criminal justice at Color of Change. Welcome to the program, Scott.
Thank you, Sonali.
Thanks so much for joining us. Well, first, do you see this announcement as a victory, even if it doesn't go far enough, for the federal government to make this announcement? Do you see this as a response to what organizations like yours have been calling upon for a while now?
Absolutely. This is, we think, a very significant step and shows the success of the efforts of organizations like Color of Change and so many others that have made it a priority to try and end the for-profit prison business. Private prisons have had a really powerful impact in terms of driving mass incarceration policy, in addition to just being running facilities that are far less safe and healthy environments for folks who are incarcerated. They've exercised a ton of influence in the political process. So it's a really important step to see them getting eliminated from DOJ facilities.
Right. Let's actually clarify then, which prisons exactly, and I don't necessarily mean for you to name them, but specifically which section or faction of prisons will be phased out. And we're not talking about these being shut down, simply right. having them be turned over from companies like GEO and CCA to the Bureau of Prisons.
Right. And so this is a huge step. The DOJ, the Department of Justice, is phasing out its contracts with private prison companies. So not only is it not as broad as we want, but it's also, you know, a process that will happen over time. So some of these contracts won't be able to be phased out until about 5 years from now. So it's going to take time even for that process to happen. But that's about 13 prisons that are run by the Federal Bureau of Prisons. And so those are the prisons where we hold folks who have been convicted of federal crimes. But the federal government's contracts with the private prison companies, the GEOs, Correction Corporation of America, companies of that nature, the vast majority of the facilities that they that those private companies are running are actually immigrant detention centers. So these are the places where we're holding people who've immigrated to the United States, many of them going through deportation hearings.
So what you're saying is that only a small section of these, or only a small number of the prisons that these companies run, are going to be affected by this decision.
Right. About 13 prisons or facilities are going to be affected by this decision. But by our count, the Department of Homeland Security is operating over 100 detention centers that are contracted with these same private companies. So if the findings of the Department of Justice's review of their contracts, you know, are carrying over into the work that's happening that these companies are doing with DHS, which one would assume, you know, that they're having the same track record in both agencies, given that they're doing the same work for them, then it's hard to see how the Department of Homeland Security can continue to justify using these companies as well.
And in fact, in our next story, we're going to be examining one specific immigrant detention facility in Southern California called Adelanto, run by Geo Corporation, that has been targeted by activists for a shutdown, and that holds immigrants. Now, it's interesting, of course, because the Department of Homeland Security is part of the federal government, and somehow the federal government is making a distinction between prisons run by these corporations and so-called detention facilities run by these corporations. I doubt that GEO and CCA see much difference in how they run these facilities, even though we call one group of people prisoners and the other group detainees, right?
Right. I think the only distinction between the facilities is actually some really frightening things to think about. These immigrant detention centers, they are not holding just kind of folks that our justice system has, convicted of pretty serious offenses. They are holding men, women, and children. If you recall, we had the wave of young people coming in from Central America. A lot of these young people, very young children, are being held in these facilities as well. So it's in some ways an even more urgent crisis that we need to deal with. And in order to be able to decrease the number of our people, whether they be in prisons or these detention centers, we've got to get private prison companies out of the political process where they're pushing for, continued expansion of mass incarceration.
And we have done a lot of coverage over the last several months and year on so-called family detention centers that house mothers with their children. Burke's Detention Center in Pennsylvania is still, there has apparently a hunger strike going on. So let's focus on what the federal government did find. President Obama toured a private prison. It was the first time, I understand, that a sitting president did such a thing. So he saw firsthand what these privately run prisons look like. And the Office of the Inspector General released a detailed report recently also comparing conditions within privately run prisons versus prisons run by the federal government, the Bureau of Prisons. And it was pretty remarkable what they found, Scott. I suppose we shouldn't be surprised that when prisons are run for profit, they're going to cut corners because the profits have to come from somewhere. And some of the things they found were higher incidence of violence, just very sort of strong correlations. Can you sort of summarize how or why activists and groups like yours have singled out privately run prisons? What is it about their prisons versus federally run prisons?
It's like you said, I think it comes down to a very fundamental question of what are the outcomes we want from our criminal justice system? I think for most people, that probably comes down to a couple things. People want safety in our communities, and we want justice. We want when someone does something that's harmful to others in the community, we want to see that rectified, and we want to do things to keep that from happening in the future. And prisons are a punitive approach that I think we need to be using less and less. But what's really happening with our system in terms of the outcomes, is that we're turned into a profit-driven system. And so we've got companies running our prisons with no thought and reflection on what are the things we're doing here that's actually going to benefit the communities where the folks who are in these facilities come from. And instead, they're thinking about how can we make the most money. So they cut corners. With things like healthcare for prisoners, making prisons a more dangerous place to be, with things like security, with the training of their staffs. They are notorious for preventing unionization of prison staff and under training them. And so a lot of those folks are not as qualified to handle conflict and situations. It puts them in danger. And puts inmates in danger. So private prisons, when you're focused on keeping the money flowing in, you're not focused on the folks that are in the facilities who have needs, the communities outside who they're going to go back to that have needs. And so private prisons are really dangerous. But I would say that for us, it's as much as it's about the impact that they're having every day on. People who are inside of prisons, and the facilities that they're running, they're also having an impact on the overall issue of mass incarceration. So for us, the kind of biggest block to really getting change in our criminal justice system are the folks who are profiting from the status quo. They are entrenched opposition. The private prison industry spends millions of dollars, campaign contributions, and lobbying to push for laws that are advantageous to them. And what's advantageous to them, of course, is more incarceration.
Now, didn't the stocks of companies like Geo and CCA drop dramatically after Sally Yates announced that the federal government was phasing out its use of private corporations to run prisons?
Yeah, we thought that we thought that was the maybe the most important takeaway from what happened with the DOJ announcement. We saw the stocks of kind of the larger private prison companies drop as much as 50% that day. It's a clear indicator that these groups and their shareholders are alarmed by what's happening. So I think we can expect a significant pushback from them because, again, they are very well-versed at influencing the political process. But the other takeaway is that if just 13 facilities can have that kind of impact on their bottom line, what would happen if we could get the Department of Homeland Security to take the same steps? So Color of Change in partnership with Black Alliance for Just Immigration and Gente and other groups are now calling for just that, trying to put pressure on the department panels.
What about states' use of private prisons? If immigrant detention centers are the bulk of private prisons, is there also sort of a growing trend at the state level to have state prisons be run by these corporations?
Indeed. The Department of Justice was probably the smallest contractor with kind of smallest source of revenue for private prison companies.
But of course, symbolically, it has a big impact for the federal government to do that.
Yes. And it's I think it's an indicator of what direction we're heading in. The Department of Homeland Security has a massive source of revenue, and the other source is the state prisons, which the vast majority of inmates in the United States are in states, in state prisons. Those places also, yes, we need to target those. There are some states like Louisiana that currently have a moratorium on private prisons, meaning they're not doing any more. But there are some states that have a really egregious use of private prisons. We've done work in Florida with a coalition of local groups in Florida who have been pushing around the juvenile justice system.
And in fact, you have a petition on that issue on your website for Florida.
Right. Yeah, their entire juvenile justice system is privatized.
Wow.
So when you think about the impacts we've talked about with private prisons, and you think that this is where they're putting children in Florida, is really frightening.
There was also recently a expose by an investigative journalist who had himself been a prisoner in an Iranian prison and then got a job very easily without hardly trying as a prison guard at a private prison and wrote an expose about it. And the kinds of things that he found were just horrific. Of course, it's not surprising, again, when you have cost cuts to make room for profits, that you're going to have far, just facilities that are run so much more poorly. Let's talk about the investment in these companies. There has been a divestment campaign nationally as well to get investors to take their money out of private prisons. Companies and banks like Wells Fargo have been targeted, but there's also pension plans that all of us have our money in that have invested quite strongly in private prisons. How is the divestment part of this organizing going?
Yeah, there are a ton of groups that are focused on this issue. I think folks like Enlace have put a lot of work in organizing around the issue of divestment from private prisons. But I would say the most impactful work that I've seen is actually happening on college campuses. We have a website, Color of Change, called organize4.org, where folks can start their own petitions. We had a group of students from one of the universities in California had a very successful effort to get their school to divest from private prison companies. In addition, We have seen in Florida, one of the universities in Florida was had sold the naming rights to its football stadium to GEO, which is headquartered in Florida. And students from Dream Defenders and other campus groups sat in and pushed for that change, and that contract was ended. So that effort, I think, it's really taken off on college campuses. I think one area outside of the pension funds that you said, which I think especially state pension funds would be a good target to go after and try to get states to divest from private prisons in that way, but also cities and local governments are often invested in funds that include private prisons. Here in Washington, D.C., for instance, folks have advocated for the city to cut ties with Wells Fargo, for instance, who invest their money in private prisons. So there are, I think, a lot of ways to go after these folks. I think, you know, the thing, these pieces work together when we can push for either a DOJ or a Department of Homeland Security or a state to end their contracts, then that has a financial impact that then makes it even harder for shareholders to
justify. So finally, the bigger issue, of course, is reducing our prison population overall, right? I mean, that's the sort of eyes on the prize aspect of this story, which is that we imprison far too many people. And even Bureau of Prison run, federally run prisons and state run prisons that are paid for directly by taxpayers and don't have a middleman like a private corporation have huge problems about how they're run, terrible conditions under which prisoners are held, and it's just a kind of a stain on the nation to have this big a prison population, the most the highest number of prisoners of any country in the world. Do you see this effort around ending private corporations running of prisons as part of this bigger picture?
I think, as I said earlier, we see this as a huge part of our overall efforts to bring down the prison population. Again, for us, it's tied to private prisons' role in developing criminal justice policy. So they use their political influence to, you know, drive decisions that that can increase the prison population. For instance, they have a track record of advocating for three strikes and you're out laws that get people life sentences and guarantee that they will be holding those people for very long periods of time. And, you know, folks who live in three strike states can tell you that, you know, folks can end up in doing life in prison for pretty minor crimes. In addition, you can look at, even if you look at Congress, like, not to get too in the weeds of what happens in Congress, but, you know, the Judiciary Committee in the Senate, for instance, is chaired by Chuck Grassley. Chuck Grassley takes money directly from Corrections Corporation of America's Political Action Committee, and he has pretty much single-handedly watered down the sentencing reform bill that was that's before Congress, to the point where, you know, I used to refer to it as President Obama's sentencing reform bill. I would say it's Chuck Grassley's reform bill now, and it's gotten to the point where it's doing almost nothing. It's adding new mandatory minimums. It's to the point where it's, you know, it's not having really much of an impact at all on the prison population, and that's a result of his alliance and the mutually beneficial relationship that he has with private prison companies.
So yes, we certainly see many instances where money from corporations influences political decisions, no matter what the politicians say. Scott, thank you so much for joining us. Briefly, give out a website for Color of Change.
Yeah, you can visit us at colorofchange.org or search for us on Twitter or Facebook, or like I said, check out our Start Your Own petition at our site, organizefor.org.
And we'll post links to that later today. Thank you so much, Scott. Scott Roberts is the Senior Campaign Director for Criminal Justice at Color of Change. This is Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com.